Hello and welcome to Speak Your Truth and Look Good Doing It podcast. My name is Camila, or as you've seen me online, Maria Camila. I'm a brand strategist, photographer, and videographer. This work is about amplifying the visibility of conscious leaders and brands who are wanting to leave this world better than they found it. This podcast is about letting ourselves be seen, both physically and spiritually, and highlighting the nuances we experience as we are growing both personally and professionally. Thank you for being here, and let's go ahead and dive in. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. I'd like to have you here. We're just going to get right to it. So I want to talk about getting over the 100K bump, but this is going to be tactical focused. I realized that my previous episode about making over the six-figure hump this year was a lot of mindset focused. And this time I'm actually just going to go straight into tactical things that I did, because tactical things are just as important as the mindset things. You could really be in the flow and then still just not really get it, or you could be bypassing. Sometimes I notice people that are very much in the frequency and energy and the mindset of I can do anything, and then you kind of start bypassing, or you don't really get that deep into the tactical things of what actually makes a well-rounded business. And those things are actually very important to me. I've come to notice that part of what contributed to my growth is not skipping steps. And even though you have had success in the past, you allow yourself to get nerdy, like get into the nitty gritty, like really like get right into it. And that's exactly what I did. So let's get right into it. I have 15 points here. I'm just going to give it to you straight. Let's go. So the first one, I posted daily and created my own momentum. So I started this at the start of 2023. I posted every single day. I posted even when I thought I was annoying. I posted even when my engagement was low. I just posted, okay? I just kept going. At the beginning, I was like, I'm just getting told that I gotta post every day. But now as time has passed, it kept me top of mind with people. It showed that I was open for business. And I've come to realize that even when you don't feel like posting, but you're showing up, somebody else is receiving your content. Like, wow, this was so insightful. Even though you weren't feeling the most lovey-dovey, high frequency, in the mood for it. And so I'm really happy that I stayed the course and I posted every single day. It showed me that I was able to create my own momentum. So a little bit of context. In the past, whenever I grew my following or I grew just my socials in general, I used to have this belief that I only grew because I did collaborations. I only grew because so-and-so reposted me. But like my growth is dependent on other people. And I've come to realize that no. I create momentum. I am the creator of momentum, of results, of money, of my relationships, of my life. Like I am the one that does this. Even to inspire somebody else to collaborate with me, I created my own momentum. And people like that. People like collaborating with other people when you have your own fire, your own thing going on, and then you can connect with people at a higher level when you have your own thing doing. So, oh my gosh, I'm just so excited about this. I can hear myself like huffing and puffing. So bear with me. But I posted daily and I created my own momentum. And the same can be for you. Even if you have 800 followers, even if you have 2,000 followers, you can create your own momentum. That's up to you. All right. Next one is I posted content relevant to client problems, and I was willing to go there with being clear on what people needed to hear. And one thing is that I was very scared of being very polarizing or very emotional. But I've come to realize that when someone has a problem, you need to let them know, hey, when you do this, it has this result and this is why, like, it's not good for you. So it's like somebody, I'm trying to think of like a habit, like vaping. Vaping is not good for you. And maybe you're really scared of telling people that vaping is not good for them. But hey, vaping isn't good for you. And like for me, one of the things that I was very nervous and scared to say, I mean, I'll tell you even one right now. Sometimes I think that if generally speaking, people of color invested in creating brands that were attractive and beautiful, then they would create just, they wouldn't get duped out so much. And sometimes I have the belief that these white brands that take from like indigenous cultures or something and they dupe their products, sometimes it's because there isn't like there, it's too local. Like that, like people say, oh, go shop local, like go to your local community and buy from them. But it's like the local community can also create a brand online. And it's like, no, this is literally from the source and know how to speak the language of the market as well. I was a little scared to say that, but that's like a belief that I have at the top of my head, that if you just made yourself easy for people to buy from you, they would. Sometimes it's not that people don't want to buy from you, is that you're too out there. You're like hard to find. I have to like leave my house, go to the right market. It's like there's so many steps where you could just show up online, have beautiful branding and marketing and a client experience where people do want to support you. I have the belief that more people want to support you. It's just that we gotta be easy to find, enjoyable to watch, like make it fun. Anyway, that's my hot take. I used to be really scared of saying some of these things. But now it's like, come on, spend money in quality photography and video. People do want to know about you and they do want to hear from you. Sometimes it's about the way you're showing up. So anyways, stuff like this. I was willing to say it on my podcast. I was willing to say it on my... I not newsletter yet because I made it over the hump of six figures without a newsletter. I just posted content and had a podcast. But I just allowed myself to say the dang thing, because when someone has a problem, you just gotta do it, okay? And then with my other personal post, I would be more lovey-dovey of letting people know that I have a big heart. But there's also this other part of me that's like, I know how to help you. Just please listen to me. Okay, next. To warm up potential clients that I would meet, say, at a networking event, or there are some people that, one thing that I want to say is that I would network too in a way that wasn't like a networking event. Like maybe somebody had like a cacao ceremony and I went and saw them and then boom, a client. Like it was just unexpected. But the point is that I would meet clients at an event, and then when I saw somebody that, I remember there was a time, this client of mine now, but one of the things that she said was, oh, I'm in real estate, I'm struggling with getting clients online, it's just, I don't know about my views, I don't know about this and that. And to me, I'm like, oh, I know how to help you. It's like it came so naturally to like tell them, oh, I know how to help you. And then once I told her at the event, I know how to help you, once we followed each other on Instagram, because that's normally what happens when you meet somebody at an event, you follow each other on socials, I started marketing towards that person. Granted, the person never said, this is my problem, but one of the things that I could just tell, and I know because it was a problem even I had, was fear of doing something else that the industry isn't doing. So one of those things where I forgot exactly what it was, but it was actually like I just perceived it. This is where you just gotta think and trust yourself as you're doing it. But I remember I was like, you know what? I'm gonna do a post thinking of this one person. And the post was talking about doing things outside of the industry that are not expected out of you, but having the willingness to do it and how me doing that is actually paid off for me. And shortly enough, that person booked a call with me after I nurtured them and shared my stuff with them over, it honestly even wasn't that long. It was probably maybe like a month of when I met this person, and then they converted into being my client, and I was able to help them with their personal brand, and then we did their photo shoot. And so anyways, that is how I think about it, having the willingness to say the thing, and that's how you can also warm up potential clients. If you're not closing people, literally start marketing towards them. Like, let them know, hey, this is a problem. Like, if you're experiencing this, could be because of this. This is a problem. I have the solution. I'm here to help you. And you can do this in your own way, whatever is good for you and your moral compass. But anyways, next. I put offers up constantly on my Instagram stories. So Instagram stories is your warmest audience. The people that watch your stories are the people that are heavily engaged with what you are doing. And that's where I would post offers. I would say it's 3K photos and videos, book here, book a call here. And I would do it even when people would click the link and book a call with me. And then I would do it even on my worst days. I just did it. I just put up offers. And one thing that I want to say is that I wasn't attached to people having to click the offer to buy from me right away. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do it because my job, it's just people need to know that I'm like, I literally, this is a business. They can work with me. This is the opportunity. This is how you do it. And I have the belief that doing that let people know that I was a business owner, that I'm not just here on Instagram to share my life and just do that. It's like, this is actually a business that's up and running. And I also think it spread the word. Like, even if the person watching your story doesn't buy from you, they'll tell another person, oh, so-and-so has this offer. They're having this problem. Connect with this person. And I have gotten so many referrals from people that I just meet. And even if they're not the client, they just connected to me to somebody else that has a particular problem. And I think me being so active, it just shows that I'm trustworthy, that I'm there, that I care, that I'm doing my part. And even I love to buy from people that are every day on there doing their thing, serving their people. Like, to me, that shows me that you know what's up, that I can trust you, that you're going to answer my questions. And another thing that I want to say is that I responded to DMs rather quickly. I used to have this thing of like, oh my God, self-care. I don't need to respond to inquiries right away. Yes, you do. Even if you are not booking the client right away, just let them feel acknowledged and be like, hey, yes, this is an option for you, and just respond to people quickly. I cannot stand inquiring with someone and they take ages to get back to me. It's like, you clearly don't care. And that has happened a handful of times. And it's like, I just don't think those people are making that much money. As much as they want to sit there and talk about their self-care or whatever the hell, you probably are doing okay, but you're not making life-changing money. And I'm here to make life-changing money, okay? And if you're listening to this, I'm going to believe that you're also here to make life-changing money. So just figure out a system where you can just respond to inquiries. Maybe not a ton of questions and DMs or whatever, but an inquiry? Hell yeah, you respond to that rather quickly. All right, next. I let people know what I did for work and let them know I can help you with that. Just let me know if you need help. This became my normal. I actually saw this on TikTok. There's a random lady saying, your first six figures, all you gotta do is tell everybody that you have a business. Tell everybody that you have this one thing going on. And that's literally what I did and what I still do. If somebody's having a problem with showing up online and they're not being taken serious, or they've never had a photo shoot, or they're struggling to get clients online or to be seen or to stand out, or maybe they're like really big empaths and they have this icky relationship with social media. They need that one-on-one support and also content in that way. Then yes, that's where I can come in and help you. Or even somebody that they're launching a new business and they're going through a rebrand. It's like, oh, I know how to help you. I can do your photos and your videos for this new business venture that you have going on. Here's my website. I let everybody and their dog and their mother and their sister know. Okay, next. I showed my work and let clients see themselves through my work. And I mentioned this in my last podcast, but I always have seen myself at an advantage that my client results are right there. They are so easy to find. You can see the videos that I have created for people, the type of people that I have worked with. You can see that they are real. This isn't even just a written testimonial, but it's their Instagrams are linked. Their accounts are right there. Like, that collaboration is right then and there. And I showed my work. Another thing too is, I like to serve a diverse group of people, so I made sure that my portfolio is diverse. That is something that I take extremely seriously. If I say that I'm a brand of leaders of all kinds of way, like all walks of life, then that needs to be demonstrated through my work, through my photos and my videos. So that's something that I always keep top of mind, is I want people to feel seen when they go through my work. And I won't get too deep into this, but there's so many photographer pages that they're like high-end photographers or whatever, and literally 90% or like 99%, 99.9% of the portfolio is white people. And it's like, come on. Like, if you say you're for everyone, make sure that everyone is demonstrated in your work. All right, next. I cut out unnecessary distracting work, such as events, retreats, or too many infographics. And I remember when I started my business, I would shoot families, and then I would shoot retreats, and then I would shoot events, and then I would do brand, and then I would do video, and I would do all these random things. Or I worked with a modeling agency, and I took everything out that wasn't relevant to conscious entrepreneurs. And I only focus on conscious entrepreneurs, easing visibility for them through photography and video and thought leadership. Boom. That's it. I literally went and I cleaned up my Instagram, and I archived anything that wasn't retreats, events. And even though I do get inquiries sometimes for very rarely for retreats and events, my focus was on growing the revenue in my business. And so I was like, you know what? It's just going to be this one offer. I did have photography and video that people buy separately, but the one that I would market the most is my bread and butter, my sweet spot offer, which you can still book. And it's just a little bit of photo, a little bit of video. And that's what the work was about for 3K. And I would just post that constantly. And then I upped my prices twice. I actually used to charge $700 for a shoe, and then I upped it to, I think it was $1,000 for the photo and video, and then I upped it to $3,000, and that one sold. It's still selling. That one's people really like that. And then I upped my prices to $6,000. I have sold a handful of times, but I've come to notice that one is for the scaling entrepreneur, those that just need a bulk of content because they're rebranding or they do launches and they just need content, different scenes to last them, 6 months to a year type of thing. People that we do shoots for 6 hours. It's a big day. It's a full day of a photo shoot. So that offer was there where I did up my prices, and that's also what helped me get over the hump, over six figures. And it's not my main offer that sells a ton, but that $6,000 offer did allow, obviously, to cater to those more entrepreneurs that do need way more work in bulk. And next one is going to be cleaned up my offers. I think I explained that just barely. Promoted just one offer at a time. Another thing that I did is that when I went to my website, I took off irrelevant, dumb shit that was given to me when I first started my website, add-ons, if you want to add this on. And I remember I used to think that, oh, look, having a menu of things is so good. And really, it's not. It's just overwhelming for people. Clean it up. Keep it simple. That's it. Just tell me what the price is, what it is. Anytime that I go to any business and there's just too many options, it's just overwhelming. And it's not luxury. I don't recommend it. Anyways, that's that. And then the next one would be I shared personal stuff every so often, and then I shared client stuff every so often. So the way that I would handle my content was every so often I would post a personal post or just me, anytime that I needed eyeballs or I needed engagement. And I mean, obviously, I also like connecting with my audience and keeping it very close, very human, close, vulnerable with you. But you don't want all of your content to be vulnerable, I did that when I want to connect with people and I know that I'm going to get eyeballs and engagement. It reminds people that I'm still a human. And then I would also post content that is designed to sell. So content that is towards clients. I didn't always tie it in with a personal experience. It's more content that's more lay out the problem, lay out what the solution is available, how you have the solution for said problem, so on and so forth. And then the next one was when I needed to be visible, I did tons of collabs or posted polarizing content relevant to my ideal clients. So in your marketing process, you got to get visible somehow. This is how you get in front of new leads, in front of new audiences. So to me, collaborations was really big, meaning if I did a photo shoot with somebody and collaborated, then that work got in front of their audience. Or maybe if I did some video work, that's also how I've been able to grow my audience, is just sharing audiences and getting in front of new people with my work. And then I also, anytime that I wanted to create my own momentum, I know that another way to get visible is polarizing content on visibility platforms. So to me, that would be Threads. Threads is a discoverable platforms. I know TikTok is one. Threads is another one. Like ways for you to get in front of new people, and it and the app promotes it. I know Instagram Reels can be a way to do that, to get in front of new people, but that personally has not worked great for me. To me, what gets me in front of new audiences is shareable content that can be relatable or content that I know is relevant to my ideal clients. So one of them that I know was a hot, like anytime that I post about diversity and inclusion, just really bold beliefs that I have, I know that's something that me and my people, we have alignment in. So one of them was, I remember I posted one that got a lot of engagement, and the sole purpose of that is also to get in front of new audiences. And I do want to preface that this isn't just for business gains. I actually really care about these things. Just for the sake of this podcast of just quick and dirty of the tactical things I'm sharing with you. But I know one of the things that we care about is spirituality and also wellness that's also centered around Indigenous people worldwide, people of color worldwide, simply because they're also... like that's a lot where a lot of our spiritual practices come from, like yoga or Palo Santo, or I know they say sage is like one of the things, even though they don't want us to use it. And I'm trying to think of, I was going to say meditation. And but the point is, I remember I posted something of I'm ready for Black and Brown people to be centered in wellness, to be the face of wellness or something like that. Or anytime, and I say this because there's just, I live in Arizona and there's a lot of spirituality and wellness stuff here, but I've come to realize that there's a lot of people that don't really support or encourage the safety of Black and Brown people with their choices, yet they love the practices of Black and Brown people, like drums during breath work and things in that way, yet... anyway, when I look at their value system, some things are off. So I make it really clear on what my values are. And I know that that's something that me and my people, we have in common. And just quick, brief, and an infographic that people can share, that people can be like, oh, I see myself in this. Those are the things that I know, like people share on other platforms, relatable things. Those are the things that I know also get me in front of new people. All right, next up would be I cleaned up the client experience when people inquired, made sure that all my links worked, made sure too that when people go to your profile and they say, I help people with whatever, I made it very clear what it is that I help people with, who it is that I help them with, how it is that people can work with me. I try to make that as straightforward as possible. And I would also update my website every so often with new work. But I would make sure that the client buying journey was very simple, very, very simple. And I also made sure that as soon as I got done with a call with somebody or somebody inquired, that same day I would send them the proposal for us to work together so that they can pay right then and there. I did not wait days and days and days on this. I was very brief about this process of making it very easy for people to buy from me. And then the next one would be, during sales calls, I focus all on the person. And this is actually something that I think I've been very good at, even from my previous sales job when I used to sell credit repair. It's just you ask discovery questions and you just ask a ton of questions. And you also give people peace of mind, but you make it all about the client. I cannot stand sales calls when the person just yaps on about their service without even knowing what I need. And honestly, it just overwhelms me. I've been on sales calls like that with people and it just rubs me the wrong way. So I think that's something that worked for me in that way. Just asking people questions on sales calls and just like being curious about what do you need? Like, what problem are you having? Like, can I help you? Am I a good fit for this? And I think that worked out really well for me. The only thing that I was struggling with in sales calls, which I addressed by hiring a nervous system coach, was that I started getting really nervous whenever a person with a very strong personality or was just very cool, would be on the other side, on the other call, side of the call. And I was still working through, I mean, I still am, but through issues of worthiness with myself. And I remember I would feel like, oh my God, like this is just, this person's so cool. Oh my gosh. And I remember that would kind of get in the way a little bit of the sales call or me being able to show up as the expert. And that's something that that's more like therapy, inner child work that I had to do. But the point is that with sales calls, I was able to fix that problem through my own issues of worthiness, but also that tactical skill of just asking a bunch of questions. Truly be curious about people, show empathy, give people peace of mind that let them know like, hey, there are solutions available for you here. And I hear you with you struggling with A, B, and C. And I got you. I know how to help you with this. And so anyways, I was very curious during the sales calls, and then I got help on the parts where I was struggling to show up as a confident person. Next up would be I engaged with people. I allowed myself to be vulnerable. I think that should be like obvious by now. But again, if you want people to trust you with their wallets, then you also gotta trust them with your emotions and show up a little bit more vulnerably through the online space. So that's a normalcy for me now. Another thing that I wanna say is that a common tactic that I hear is, not tactic, but phrase, and that I hear from people is, I don't want people to have access to me. And something that I want to share with you is that no one really has access to you just because they know things about you. That's not really a thing. And even if they happen to know things about you, you still have, like giving someone access is more as in your energy, like literally opening up your heart. But just because people know things about you doesn't mean they have access to you. And I want to give you peace of mind with that, because I share a lot of things about my life. And at the end of the day, it's not, people don't really have access to you. And you know who I think is a great example of this, who's mega famous, yet we don't really know much about her, is Beyonce. Beyonce has this ginormous brand. People love her. She has so many fans. And people feel so connected to Beyonce, yet I don't really know her. I don't, even when I hear her speak, I'm like, oh, what's her personality like? Like, I just know how she is as a performer, but her actual personality and how she thinks, like, I don't know those things about her. But I think she has just figured out a way to be private, yet extremely famous. So sometimes that's just a limiting belief that people have. And I just want to give you peace of mind with that. And then next one would be, I networked through masterminds. I put myself in rooms with people where my ideal client was at. I will say that wasn't my first intention when I joined masterminds of getting clients. I joined masterminds because I wanted to learn and grow as an entrepreneur. But I will say, when you're in spaces with people, very close relationships who are your ideal clients, you most likely may hire one another. And that's something that I did. I've even hired other people through masterminds. And anyways, it's just, that's just a consequence of that. But just got myself in rooms with people where my ideal clients would be at. One thing that I want to say is that also be mindful of who your ideal clients are, because I've seen people that go to a ton of networking events, but they go to all these events with people that are very high level, but maybe you're a newbie. And then people are like, oh, my coaching business didn't work out. And to me, I'm just like, well, that's because you went to all these networking events where you're their ideal client, but they're not really your ideal client. They're more advanced than you. Like, you also need to be mindful of, like, where are you spending all this time at? And I think that's a misconception people have in self-development of, they go to all these conferences and events. And I just think, like, easy with going to so many conferences if they're not your ideal client. And anyways, on to the next. And the last one was, I started a podcast. So I saw a value in podcast based on how even I bought as a service provider. What I like about podcasting is that I have your full attention here, generally. You're probably listening to me in your car or while you're cooking or while you're working out or while you're on a walk. But generally, you're listening to me and I just have your attention for longer than I do on Instagram. Instagram to me is an attention grabber, but it's not always where people get to know me deeply or where I build that deep trust and credibility with people. A lot of times, even when I buy, especially if I'm spending four figures on somebody, I go and listen to their podcast or I stalk them anywhere where I can get a feel for their personality a little bit more. And so I started a podcast. I did not wait for a podcast for to like have a podcast guest. I didn't wait for anything. Some people just overcomplicate podcasts. And I also didn't wait to have the equipment. Even when I had my podcast, it was an Amazon mic, you guys. Like if you go back to episode one, you will see me and my Amazon mic. It was that simple. I think I even recorded a podcast once through my phone. Like sometimes I think we get stuck in the technicalities of, oh, a podcast needs to be like Alex. No, not Alex Earl. See, I'm getting them confused. Not her. They call her Daddy Chick. Like, it does not need to be like that. It can just be you get on a mic and you serve people. Boom. That's it. And the podcast has worked out really well for me. It's a place where I get to educate, build trust, build value, express myself to you, and for you to get to know me better beyond my hot takes on the Instagrams. And then lastly is I stuck to one platform. One of the things that held me back for a long time was being on all the platforms or feeling like, oh my God, I don't know where I need to be. No, I narrowed down on one platform. And to me, my goal was let me be excellent at thought leadership and converting clients. Let me just be good at that. Once I'm good at that, I'll start dipping into other platforms. And I actually didn't even start my newsletter until I think maybe July of this year of 2024. And I started my business in 2022. So I didn't really mess with newsletters for a long time. And then the other thing was I'm not really stressing about having to be on TikTok or having to be on LinkedIn. And honestly, even for 2025, I'm considering starting on LinkedIn, but when I think of my business now, I'm like, I don't even think I'm ready, nor does my business need it. I think what my business needs is grow more revenue, get better at selling the current offers that I have, get better at the client experience, get better at building a team. Let me just improve things inside my business before I go and get new leads somewhere else. I don't really need to do that. And I know people that have million-dollar businesses in an online platform that just stay on Instagram. So I'm not really antsy to having to be anywhere else right now. I have a very grounded perspective of what my business needs right now. So anyways, that is my list of how I made it over the 100K bump through social media marketing and a teeny bit of networking. If you found value in this, just share it with a friend. Other than that, thanks for being here. I'll catch you on the next episode. If you're an entrepreneur who just received your brand photos, yet you don't know how to use them to maximize their use and have them look just as beautiful as they do in your brand photographer's Instagram and website, I have a solution for you. I have created a how to use your images guide. These are principles that I use to this day that have lasted the test of time with how to pair images together and how to think of your brand photos differently and how to make them last you months and months on end as assets that keep elevating your brand and help you serve your services and attract those dream clients. So check out the link in my bio for the how to use your images guide.